And this morning's scripture lesson comes to us from, guess where? The book of Acts. As we continue on in the book of Acts, we'll conclude with chapter 5 today. And so this will be about the third section of chapter 5 that we've looked into. And so if you have your Bibles or an app, or you can follow along on the screen, our scripture will be up there as well. Chapter 5 of the book of Acts, verses 34 through 42. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged, and then ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. If you've been with us, you know that we have been in the book of Acts now the past several weeks. And in particular, last week, if you look back just to verse 33, you'll find that the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leadership, the chief priest, Caiaphas, were all very frustrated. They were very annoyed by these disciples, by these apostles, namely Peter and John, but all of the others as well. And they had decided, because these apostles were still preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, they were still performing miraculous acts, casting out demons, that they would bring them in, that they would arrest them, put them in jail, and that they would put them to death. And so a couple weeks ago, we looked into this and we realized that an angel of the Lord appeared. And in the night before this event that we're going to speak about today happened, this angel of the Lord came and released the apostles from the jail cell. But when obedience to the Lord is the real reason, when there's trouble, remember good trouble from last week? When obedience to the Lord is the reason for the trouble that we find ourselves, we can expect unexpected things are going to happen. And these unexpected things are going to transpire because of the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And that is what the apostles were speaking about. Except for one lonely voice, just one lonely voice, it seemed that they were on a path to put the apostles to death. Just as they had done with Jesus of Nazareth, just as they had tried to squash him and silence him, they were now going to attempt the same thing with these apostles. Except for that one lonely voice that came from an unlikely source, an unexpected place. As we know, the previous night, the angel of the Lord did appear. And that angel of the Lord not only appeared, but had a message. And the message to these apostles was go out and preach. Go right back to where you were from, where you were arrested, and get back out there and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so that's what they did. But he used a less flashy, but yet nonetheless a miraculous sign. He chose an unlikely source, one lonely voice, a Pharisee, to save the church. Imagine that. A Pharisee to save the church. The Pharisees were one of two major parties that made up the Council of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leadership of the time. The other was the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees, they were the keepers of all of the strict laws of all of the laws of God, but then they added on all this other stuff that they made up. And it's interesting to me that churches today still do that. We just add things on and we make things up sometimes to fit our particular need or desires. And yet their only purpose was to take care of the laws of God, but they added all these other things like dietary restrictions and hair length and dress and some of the same things that you see in Mideastern countries yet today, and people being persecuted for it. They kept these laws, yet they wanted to follow the same kind of pattern that they had followed with Jesus. And they were jealous of these followers of Christ. They were jealous of their popularity. They were jealous of the fact that people were following them. And that, even more so, and they were, I think, of greater concern, was the fact that these people were growing in number, that there were more and more of them all the time. You know, when their crowds get larger and there's more people to contend with, there's more action that can occur, good, bad, or otherwise. And so we are introduced to a member of the Pharisees by the name of Gamaliel. This unexpected apostle, or this unexpected Pharisee, rather, is the one who would speak up, the one who would stand up, the one who stood up to say, hey, now wait a minute. Let's wait a minute. Let's take a breather on this here. Do we really want to do this? He was a distinguished member of the council. He was well respected and honored among all of the people. You know, throughout society, throughout our lives, occasionally there's one or two people that come along and everybody knows that this person is a well-respected individual. They don't just get that, they earn it. They're not given it, they earn it. They work toward it. And people honor them because they're humble in their service. Well, he was a great teacher, and perhaps he was one of the best teachers that was there in Jerusalem at the time. He was a teacher of the law, and he was honored among all the people. And he stood up in this assembly, and he told them that they needed to wait for a minute, and so he asked that the apostles be removed, that they be taken outside. What was his point in all of this? Well, he goes on about a couple of different names. He mentions Theudas, and he mentions Judas of Galilee, and these were people that had risen up, that they had great followers, but then they were killed, and then they just kind of dispersed and were forgotten about. And so this is kind of the point. Revolutions come and revolutions go. And that's what he was basically saying to the Pharisees at the time. Let's just let this go here and see what's going to happen. Let's not get too embroiled in this controversy right now. He says to them, if this thing is of God, then there's nothing that we can do about it. But if it's not, basically it'll die out on its own. These apostles will get killed. The Christianity will be gone. And that's what they thought they were already doing. So he offered some great sound advice and counsel to the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin composed of them and the Sadducees that day. And with their leader, the apostles' leader, Jesus, being gone, as they thought, surely they would fail. Surely these apostles would fade away. and they would be heard of no more. And he said to them in this speech that he gave to them, it was a very brief speech, that if you want to do this and it's of God, you'll literally be fighting against God. You'll be fighting against God. Now, the concept of fighting against God was something that the Jewish people were fearful of. They had kept the laws of God. They didn't want to be perceived as fighting with God. And so the logic of Gamaliel prevailed. And they decided not to kill these apostles. They made a decision at some point. You could look back to the beginning of this passage and where they put them in jail and then called them back in. But they were not, obviously, put to death. Jewish people were concerned about being perceived as fighting against God. Now, you might look at Gamaliel and you might say, well, he was probably a sympathizer with Christianity. That's not probably the case. He was not in any way, at least what we have here, a sympathizer with Christianity. He was not one that was necessarily for these apostles. He was not a secret follower of Jesus Christ, because remember, earlier this same council was the ones that convicted Christ and had him hung on the cross. So that was not the case. What was more likely was the fact that he was a strong believer in God, keeping God's laws, and he wanted to see if this thing was really from God or not. And that's what he is describing here. If you want to fight against God, if this thing's of God, you're not going to win anyway. But if it's not of God, then, you know, it'll just fade off. And that was his point. That's what he was trying to describe to them. So when you think something is of God, then you probably should step back and wait and see. Or if it's something that is very dangerous or there's problems with it and it goes against the word of God, you step up immediately and you do something about it, because it's going to fail. So in typical Pharisaic style, he urged them to continue with caution. And he made sure that they did that. God used Gamaliel, a Pharisee, one that we could hardly expect would be used, a famous Jewish teacher of the time, to free the apostles. It always gets me in Scripture that God uses the most unlikely people, the people that we would least expect. And he's done this throughout the New Testament, but he's done it throughout the Old Testament as well. God has used rebels, he has used prostitutes, he has used thieves, and yes, even a donkey to accomplish his will, and more than one occasion, both in the Old and the New Testament. I love that usage of the stubborn donkey, don't you? God uses people. God uses his creation in order to carry out his perfect will and make sure that his message gets across. So the council accepted Gamaliel's sound advice and decided not to put these apostles to death. They were popular among the people. And surely if they had killed them, there would have been a riot. There would have been an uprising among the Jewish people. There would have been great difficulty for the leadership if they had gone to that extent of putting these apostles to death. There would have been, as I said, a riot. The council decided to wait and see if this would just fade away harmlessly, but they couldn't have been more wrong. And later on, if you fast forward into Acts, into the chapter 22, verse 3, you'll see there that Gamaliel was one of the teachers of none other than Paul. And so you find that he has a role to continue to play in his ministry, if you will. Are you familiar with the saying, 40 lashes with a wet noodle? Yeah, 40 lashes with a wet noodle. And it's meant to be funny, and you all kind of giggled. And it's funny because 40 wet lashes with a wet noodle is not going to really cause much harm. I think it was Ann Landers who said that she believed if someone had done something mean, or if they had done something dishonest or just plain stupid, that they deserved 40 lashes with a wet noodle. Well, we find here in this scripture, and I'm always amazed again, where do these sayings come from? Well, they come from none other than right here in the Bible. Not 40 lashes with a wet noodle, but 40 lashes. And so that's what happens here, is that these apostles aren't just let go. They're given another warning after they are beaten, after they are flogged. And a flogging was 40 lashes with not a wet noodle, but 40 lashes with leather that was bound together at least three times. And they were beaten on their front side and twice as many times on their back side. And often the Jewish leaders would count them because they did not want to go over 40. Because there's a scripture about that, that you'll be judged harshly among your fellow Israelites if you go over 40. And so they count them, and they usually only get to 39 because if they made a mistake of even just one, then they would be at 40 or maybe 41. And so they did not want to do that. So they had them flogged, bare body. And so imagine that what is happening here is that these bare-bodied apostles now are kneeling, they are bound, and they are being brought before the Sanhedrin of 70, maybe 100 plus men, the chief priest Caiaphas, and they are flogged in front of all of these people, both in their chest and in their back. This punishment was given to people who had committed a crime. Yet these apostles had been judged with no crime. They had been charged with no crime. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 2 and 3 reads as follows. If a guilty person deserves to be beaten, the judge shall make them lie down and have them flogged, and in their presence, and the number of lashes their crime deserves, but the judge must not impose more than 40 lashes. If the guilty party is flogged more than that, your fellow Israelite will be degraded in your eyes. That's Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 2 and 3. This is actually a fulfillment of a prophecy that Jesus is quoted with in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 9. You will be handed over to local councils and flogged in the synagogues. Once again, after this happened, the leaders, the religious leaders, the people who kept God's law, God's people, said to the apostles, "Go out, but don't teach anymore in this name." Think about that. The religious leaders, the people of God, told the apostles not to go out and teach in the name of Jesus because they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And all along, the apostles are connecting Jesus as an ancestor of theirs. This is part of who they all are as a culture, and yet they failed to recognize it. Luke probably included this in the book of Acts so that he could show the consistency of their denial of Christ as the Messiah. Imagine having your front side, your back side beaten with a leather whip nearly 40 times. In front of your friends, in front of the church leaders, and told not to go preach anymore and teach anymore in this name. Never again speak the name. What about us today? What about you and me? Are we willing to share the love of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost? Are we willing to be thrown in jail? I have colleagues that get thrown in jail occasionally because they protest unjust things. One Christian that I know of said when they became a Christian, they got in more trouble than they ever got in before they knew Jesus Christ, because they stood up for all of the unjust and wrong that they saw in society and culture. They protested peacefully, yet they would be arrested because they would be doing so on public property or something like that. They would be ridiculed. They would be ostracized. They would be slandered. How many of you are willing to do that, to make that a cost for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? How many of you are willing to not be comfortable, but to go and share? To what extent are you willing to go to share the gospel with other people? Imagine the tremendous pain. You know, we think about Jesus, and I'm sure that was obviously much more harsh. But you think about the tremendous pain that these apostles went through in this beating, the humiliation that they endured for Jesus. But notice this attitude of the early church toward difficulty. Notice the attitude of these apostles when they are threatened, when they are jailed, when they are flogged. Their response is rejoice. Rejoice. Now, I don't think they literally mean that they're rejoicing because they got flogged. That's not what this says. Because let's face it, that would not be something that we'd be happy about. But because it happened in the name of Jesus, and because of our faithfulness and obedience to Jesus, and our getting in trouble because of Jesus, they rejoiced at this. Because they were worthy to suffer dishonor because of his name. They were willing to take that beating. They were willing to be jailed. They were willing to go out and suffer the risk of preaching in the temple courts to this place that was crowded with people and temple guards all around. Surely they would be noticed and thrown back into jail and risk death. And we know that was the real possibility because that's where they were at before this one Gamaliel stood up. They were rejoicing because they were worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. So when there's opposition, we don't always need to be resentful of that. Regard it as a sign that you've been faithful. Understand when there's opposition, that's because you've been faithful. Think about that. Pray about that. So what did they do after they had been beaten, after they had been flogged? They just stop? Mind you, again, this one Pharisee saved the church. These apostles, it says now in the conclusion of this chapter today, in verse 42, day after day, not just occasionally, not just when they felt like it, but day after day, they never stopped. They never gave up. They never quit. Day after day, they never stopped teaching or proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. They were persistent. They kept it up. They didn't get tired and grow weary and stop. They wanted everybody to know that Jesus was the promised Messiah, even though the religious leaders of the day could not see it clearly. This was the message that was being prohibited by the council. Don't tell people that Jesus is the Messiah. So the heat was on them. but the message was spreading like fire. So chapter 5 has this wonderful summary at the end. It says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. They never stopped. They kept it up in the temple courts, and likely these were the apostles that were in the temple courts doing the preaching and the teaching and the miracles of Jesus Christ that he continued to empower them to do through his power of the Holy Spirit. It was also the house to house. And so, you know, the early church met in houses. We didn't have these types of places where we could gather, a church building. But it met in homes, and it was smaller groups, and it was here likely that the laity of the time taught. But they would gather more for breaking of bread, for fellowshipping with each other, and for prayer. This is important. I think it's something that has been lost in our churches today. There was a resurgence of it in the late 80s, early 90s, and the small group began to crop up again. And we try some things like that from time to time, but this is what they were about. They were about the fellowship. They were about breaking bread, and they were about prayer. This is a similar summary as we find in Luke's words in Acts chapter 2 at the conclusion of that chapter. So Gamaliel, he was one who gave wise counsel. He was one who stood up. He stood up against the Sanhedrin. He stands up for us as well today, because without him, who knows where we would be as a church today. Think of that yet again, a Pharisee, just one voice. There are times when certain people and certain causes are so obviously a contradiction of the Word of God. Just look at the news. Look at what's going on in our politics right now and how ashamed we should be of some of the people we place in office, because it appears that their lives are not measuring up to what God would have us do and have them do. There are great truths other times, though, that are packaged in different ways. And sometimes we, like Gamaliel, need to step back and say, wait a minute, I don't get that. I don't understand that. But I'm willing to give it a chance and to see if God is part of it. And if God is part of it, there's nothing I could do to stand in its way. And so let's wait. Let's wait and see. If they are of God, we can't stop them. But if they are not of God, they're not going to succeed, or that idea is not going to succeed anyway. This very educated teacher of the law, this brilliant Pharisee, stood up to the Sanhedrin. He saved the church. These apostles continued, and they never stopped. They never gave up teaching the good news of Jesus Christ. What about you? What about you? Are you fighting with God this morning over something? You know it's of God, but you're fighting against it anyway. Would you consider it an honor if you were being persecuted for the cause of Christ? Would you? Remember, sometimes it's just one person standing up that can make all the difference in the world. We've seen it in our own American culture. One voice that can stand up, that can change not only a culture, a nation, but the world. It just takes one person sometimes. The apostles never gave up, even in the face of adversity. They proclaimed, continued to proclaim the good news in large settings and small settings. I ask you to consider, as we conclude, what is your response to the adversity that you face in this world? in this community, in this church, in your walk with Christ today.